Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we are joined by Jose Cardenas, long a very senior and influential figure in U.S. government circles with respect to Latin America, having held key posts in the U.S. Department of State, the National Security Council, and USAID. And in fact, he served as the acting assistant administrator for Latin America and the Caribbean at AID back in the Bush administration. He is a great expert on these matters, blogs at Foreign Policy Magazine's Shadow Government, and is an associate with Vision America. It's great to have him with us. Jose, welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. Always a pleasure to join you.
Well, we are speaking in what was supposed to be the aftermath of Vice President Pence's address to the Organization of American States here in Washington, but because of the snow day yesterday, the speech didn't happen. He was going to be describing, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jose, kind of what to expect in President Trump's visit to the region coming up in April. What do you think is likely to be on that agenda, even in the absence of the vice president showcasing it for us?
Yes, Frank. The speech was indeed supposed to be somewhat of a curtain raiser for President Trump's first visit to Latin America for the Summit of the Americas, which is to take place in Peru next month. And the Trump administration, it's somewhat ironic that for all of the campaign rhetoric and the attendant commentary that suggested that President Trump was systematically destroying U.S. relations with Latin America, the Trump administration really is coming at it with a very positive approach to its relationship with Latin America. It sees opportunities there, whether they are economic or political, with like-minded governments in the sense that the Chavista wave of left-wing populism has crashed. And so there are more presidents and leaders in Latin America that want good relationships with the United States, that want trade ties, and that want to do something about the erosion of democracy in Venezuela. So it was going to be an attempt to really find common cause with some of these like-minded leaders.
And it's pretty clear that what is concentrating their minds, you know, the old line about a conservative is a liberal who is mugged by reality, it certainly seems as though, speaking of Chavez and his chosen successor, Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela, have really demonstrated literally the bankruptcy of their ideas and their model. One of the places where the president has been, it seems, exercising some welcome leadership, Jose Cardenas, is with respect to tightening the screws on Nicolas Maduro's regime in Venezuela. Talk a little bit about that and how that is helping to forge perhaps an improved relationship with some of these other Latin American countries that are feeling the effects, particularly of what's happening in Venezuela now.
Let me just start with your last point there, Frank, and that is neighbors of Venezuela that are indeed feeling the effects of the disaster in Venezuela. Its neighbors, Colombia and Brazil, and even islands in the Caribbean, are all experiencing refugee flows from Venezuela into their countries, and it is creating a regional crisis. What the Trump administration is doing towards Venezuela is basically a two-track approach that is working very well. On one hand, it is devising targeted sanctions meant to cripple Maduro's ability to basically stay in power. Rather than carpet bombing Venezuela with broad-based sanctions, these are more surgical. They are targeting individuals and they are targeting specific escape valves, if you will, for the Maduro government. One is, blocking U.S. sources of finance from helping Maduro resurface his debt. Secondly, targeting the Maduro government's attempts to use cryptocurrency because they are so bankrupt. And then on the other side, they are working with partners in the region to, again, diplomatically isolate the Maduro government and apply sanctions of their own, specifically targeted the regime, not the Venezuelan people.
Yeah. And on this cryptocurrency business, one of the reports that I've seen, Jose Cardenas, is that the Russians have been involved in trying to help, I guess, one of their client states pull off this vehicle for essentially trying to prop up their failed economy with a cryptocurrency they call the Petro. What do you know about that, and how does that factor into the kind of pressure that the president's trying to bring to bear?
It is certainly another indication of the desperation, of the economic desperation of the Maduro government. When you look at their oil sector, it is production is down, and they have systematically destroyed every other sector of the economy. They are bankrupt. They're attempting to sell gold to acquire hard currency. That's how bad it is. This maneuver is simply an attempt to, again, defy economic reality by seeking some sort of salvation in a cryptocurrency. On the Russian side of the ledger, by all means, Putin sees opportunity, not economic opportunity, in Venezuela, although Russian oil companies are scarfing up distressed properties in Venezuela. But for Putin, Venezuela exists simply as an opportunity to mess with the United States by propping up Maduro. He is not going to invest billions of dollars into Venezuela, but Putin is otherwise going to see what he can do on the cheap to continue to destabilize what basically the Russians see as the United States near abroad. They equate their activities in Venezuela with, for example, what Putin sees as the United States mucking around in countries on its perimeter or periphery.
Yeah. Speaking of on the periphery, one of the things that is not getting, it seems to me, the attention that it requires is an upcoming election in neighboring Mexico, one of our most important regional partners, but also our immediate neighbor, of course. And that is the prospect that a fellow by the name of López Obrador might prove to be the next president of Mexico. Very quickly, what is Obrador's record, and what might that portend, not just for NAFTA and other issues of mutual interest, but even for our security?
Frank, it's a critical issue. As you well know, there's no country that more directly impacts U.S. homeland security than does Mexico, of course, because of our 2,000-mile border with Mexico. AMLO, as he's known, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, is cut from the same left-wing populist cloth that Hugo Chavez came from. I know that we basically said that wave has crashed, but there are some outliers still out there. He is taking advantage of a lot of internal dissatisfaction, irregardless of Donald Trump's administration, but of popular dissatisfaction in Mexico with corruption, with lack of jobs. And so he is gaining oxygen. And what it means, Frank, is that if AMLO wins in Mexico, you are almost certainly going to see a distancing of Mexico from security cooperation and political cooperation with the United States.
More on that soon. Jose Cardenas of Vision America, thank you so much for your time today, as well as the great work you do there and your cumulative public service to our country. It's great to talk with you, and I look forward to doing so again soon. I hope to talk to the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.